Well, we had a discussion last week, especially about being 26 years old and having a biopic made about you because you've accomplished so much. Most people that responded, including myself, said at 26 years, I really hadn't accomplished all that much. But our next guest is 26 years old, and she could probably have a film made about her. She's the kind of writer who makes others jealous. Fresh out of the Iowa Writers' Workshop, but already been chosen twice for the collection of the best American short stories. And there's a great deal of buzz around her first book. It's a collection of 8 short stories. They're kind of longer short stories. And the book's called Before You Suffocate Your Own Fool Self. Danielle Evans joins us here in the studios. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I want to read actually a little bit of your bio because this is what I'm talking about here. It's your fiction has appeared in the Paris Review, the American Book Review, Black Renaissance Noir, the Elle magazine. As I said, you've been included in Best American Short Stories twice, nominated for several Pushcart prizes, and you teach creative writing at the University of Wisconsin, or did. And you're probably around the same age as the people you were teaching.
Yeah, I'm actually at American University in D.C. now, and I am probably younger than a lot of our graduate students who seem to forgive me for it.
Oh, and yet, writers often think they have to have a lot of hard knocks before they become great writers, right? I mean, that's the general consensus.
Well, it's like Flannery O'Connor says, anybody who's lived through childhood has a lifetime of material, right? I think a lot of what forms us happens fairly early on in life.
You know, it's funny. I was just reading an interview of you that was actually included on the American University website, and you just talked about some of the themes. Well, admittedly, you said you don't think about themes when you're writing stories. You think about character. But you talked about some of the things that interest you, and I want to list down them because they actually appear in all of your collection of 8 short stories. You said you're interested in what it means to be part of a family, in race, the lived experience of non-whiteness, how women understand and express sexuality and sexual desire, and the thin undercurrent of competition in so many close friendships. Those are all things that emerge in your story collection, and yet you say they come out of the characters and not out of your idea about these things.
Right. Well, I mean, you can't write a story about an idea. You can write an essay about an idea, but if there's no ambiguity and there's no surprise, then there's no story. I don't know, for me a story comes down to the unexpected moment. Like, if it doesn't take my breath away, it's not going to take anyone else's. So
you get interested in characters and you start to write about them. Mm-hmm. These are characters you meet on the street?
No, they're the people who live in my head more often than not. I still in limited portions from family, friends, often though I'll start with a line of dialogue, or I'll start with something that could have been really interesting, but because it was real life, somebody was too polite or too reasonable. And I'll think, well, what would have happened if they'd been less polite or less reasonable, or they'd been a different sort of person and that same thing had happened to them.
And yet you must have a crowded population in your head, because in your book you talk about some of them are quite a bit older than you are. One's written in the voice of a guy who's just returned from war. How do you, I mean, do you sit there and just try to empathize, put your people in these shoes? Is that what you do?
Yeah, I mean, I think fiction is an act of intelligent empathy. It's empathy with a sort of broader context. And so I do think about people I know, and I think about what has made them the people I made them, and I think about the characters as sort of people I might know or people I might share the world with in some way.
Okay, we're speaking with Danielle Evans. Her new book is called Before You Suffocate Your Own Fool Self. It's a collection of 8 short stories, longer short stories, I should say. And it's gotten amazing reviews. You must be very happy. But I wanted to point to one specifically. This is Washington Post fiction critic Ron Charles. Loved the book. Did a video review, and I want to play you some of his comments.
Ugh, I don't even know. I mean, should a middle-aged white guy even be reviewing a book by a young African-American? I should have assigned this to an African-American. But isn't that condescending? What, like only black people can understand what black people write? But how do I know what a black person experiences? I don't even think of her as black. What does that even mean? Some of my favorite books are by black people. Oh no, what have I said?
I mean, it's funny, but in the same way, how does it strike you, this kind of angst over how to read your book?
Well, I see it a lot because I also teach African-American literature, and there's always this moment in which, you know, for the first half of the semester, there's this panic because it's like every day you're going to ask me to talk about race in some direct, explicit way or to talk about racism and somehow implicate myself. And then there's a moment when it shifts and when it becomes sort of okay to relate to the characters as characters, to think about the authors as authors, and to have the historical context to understand what's happening on the page without letting that be this purely sociological value for what are often really beautiful books. And so, I mean, I do think that we're not quite past that moment in which part of what readers are coming to is this demand for relatability, which is one of my least favorite words about fiction, actually, but this idea to see themselves reflected on the page, and this way in which, for all of our pseudo post-racialism, there's some limit to seeing ourselves in people who are of explicitly different backgrounds.
But don't you kind of feel like it's a little different with authors of a different race? In other words, we don't sit there and read Dickens and think, I can't read this as an American, you know, 40-year-old woman. I can't even relate to what it was like to be an orphan in London. And, you know, I mean, isn't there kind of a different set of standards around race?
Yeah, and I had to, I mean, as a teacher, I had to step away from my own experiences reading, because I never expected to see myself on the page, right? I mean, most of my experience of literature, I didn't read a book about anybody who was remotely like me until I got to college. And that was because I sought it out. Like, I could have gotten through college without doing that, too. So my relationship to the page was always about sort of submerging myself in someone else's experience and learning to empathize with people who might not only be unlike me, but be actively hostile to me. And so I had to sort of put myself in the head of a reader who expected to see themselves in the world in order to be a better teacher. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that's also somewhere in my writing, but I don't know that I actively think about audience in that way.
Which is interesting, because Danielle Evans is who we're speaking to right now, and you've listed The Great Gatsby and The Prayer for Owen Meany as two big influences on you, clearly not written by young African-American women.
Yeah, but I was actually just talking to somebody about the ways in which John Irving and Toni Morrison are doing really similar structural things, and he was the first person I ever heard say that besides myself. It was exciting.
Okay, so we had a discussion with Edwige Danticat about her new book, and her new book is about voice and finding your own identity. And we also had a forum here in which minority authors were talking about trying to be an audience author and speak just from a general experience and yet not lose their own cultural identity. Do you fight with that as well?
Well, I not really.
No.
I don't know what it would mean to speak from a general experience, right? I only know what it would mean to speak from some sort of specific location. And I guess I don't lose too much sleep over where that location is, because it's the one that I'm drawn to, and it's sort of where the writing takes me. And I don't feel the obligation to apologize for finding people who are somewhat like myself interesting. And I hope that other people find themselves interesting and are also able to find people unlike themselves interesting. As I said, I've always read across, you know, culture and gender and read authors of different backgrounds, and I don't think that everyone else is so limited that they can't do what I've been doing since I was a kid.
Well, clearly people can, because the new short story collection is getting incredible reviews. It is amazing writing. It's called Before You Suffocate Your Own Full Self, and I guarantee you all the people in it are interesting. Danielle Evans, thanks so much for joining
us. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, that's great, Celeste. Well, from now until November, we're also keeping you up to date on the on politics and the midterm elections.
I'm not a witch.
No, you're not. That's Christine O'Donnell. We're certainly going to hear more from her in the next few months, and we want to hear from you. What candidates have sparked your interest, if any? 8778-MY-TAKE is the number. You know, I think she might have lost the witch vote with that commercial, Celeste.
She certainly did. I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm Todd Zwillick in for John Hockenberry. It's The Takeaway.